serving you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never thirst. But as I have told you, you can see me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I shall not turn him away, because I have come from him not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. Now the will of him who sent me is that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, and that I should raise it up on the last day. Yes, it is my Father's will that whoever sees the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and that I shall raise him up on the last day. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Remember the Gospel of Thomas, which we read on the second Sunday of Easter. Words of Jesus. You believe because you can see me. And here in the body of the Gospel, in chapter 6, he says, you can see me, and still you do not believe. So we have this verb to see. And clearly, there are ways and ways of seeing. Thomas's seeing results in faith, and Jesus is even able to explain his faith in terms of his seeing. But here, the seeing doesn't work. It doesn't incite faith in those who see. And we're reminded instead of the words that Jesus quotes from Isaiah in the other Gospel. Make the heart of this people fat, so that they can see and see again, but not perceive. Hear and hear again, but not understand, for fear that they be converted and be saved. Very sad and bitter outpouring of the mind of God towards people who will not let the light in, will not let the truth in, through their eyes and their ears. And so, we want to be people who respond to the light. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, a light that shines in the darkness, a light that darkness could not overpower. We want to be among those who can say, we have seen his glory, the glory that is his as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. We want to be able to say, no one has seen the Father. It is the only Son who is nearest to the Father's heart, who has made him known to us. So how can we see correctly? And listen properly so that we can become children of the light and of the truth. This kind of response, this truthful and open and generous response, is connected with the theme of this chapter that we're reading through, this central theme, connected with what Jesus calls being the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. To come to Jesus, to believe in him. All that the Father gives me, he says, will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will not turn away. To come to Christ. Clearly, we've got to come with our minds and hearts open. And in a hard-bitten world, that's very difficult. Jesus came into our world with his heart on his sleeve. And the doors certainly pecked at it. He came with a wide-open heart, with all the love of God. And we broke his heart. We pierced his heart with the lance. Comprehensively, we punished him for his loving and defenseless approach. And that is the other side, the pay line, if you like, for what he says here. Whoever comes to me, I shall not turn away. And we're reminded of that line from the Suffering Servant's song in Isaiah. I did not turn away my face against insult and spittle. The servant of God doesn't defend himself against the hatred of the world. And in this, he shows in a human way the total willingness of God to submit himself to our will, which is the greatest paradox of our faith. God could so easily have us, take us, but he waits for us to give ourselves to him. And if we won't, he won't have us. He submits our life to our judgment, and we hold our life in our hands. The reason why Jesus won't turn away is because he has come to do the will of the one who sent him, and that will is that he should lose nothing of all that has been given by God the Father, and that he should raise it up on the last day. Yes, it is my Father's will that whoever sees the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and that I shall raise him up on the last day. This judgment of ours, then, about Jesus, is vital to us. It's a matter of life and death, and our eternal destiny rests upon it. But that's the order in which it comes to us. Not that, as we trivially imagine sometimes, God sets us down in the world and we run about performing in front of him, and he writes down what we do in his book. And then on a day, he visits it on us, out of the blue like a thunderbolt. Rather, that he puts our fate into our hands, and he shines his light on our path, and he speaks his word to us, and it is we who pass judgment on our eternal destiny by our willingness to listen and to open our eyes or not. At the end of this chapter, John will tell us, when he had finished speaking to them, and he said, this is impossible language. How could anyone listen to it? And many will stop going with him. And he will ask the disciples, what about you? Do you want to go away as well? Lord, teach us to be open to your revealing power and to your Holy Spirit who enables us to respond. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.